VoiceAmerica.com.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
You betcha. I am your host. I am Valerie Kirkgaard, and we are Waking Up in America, hopefully. Moment by moment, another person wakes up. We're a team radio magazine. I think there's a lot of reasons in politics right now about why we should be waking up. But we'll get on to the weight loss issue. You can check out Vital Issues on Saturday and find out what we're up to. It's here on the Voice America Business Channel, and it's at 11 o'clock California time. Now, we love to do team radio, and Waking Up in America is a team radio magazine that's actually been on the air for 20 years. This is our 20th year, and you're the fly on the wall. And the flies have really enjoyed Waking Up in America because people say that it's like dropping in on a party line or something like that. And for those of you too young to remember, they were really fun. When I was a little whippersnapper, I'd pick up the phone and I would hear my neighbors talking about stuff because we didn't have independent phone lines. So if we wanted to use the phone, we had to wait till the neighbor was off. And we had some amazing conversations on the radio. Now, to make the whole thing more spicy, we have a team of radio experts. We have Cherie Ross, who will show you how to incorporate the essential oils into your life. We have Debbie Ringchop, the good doctor for money, who will help you light up your financial future. And we got a clip from Will Roberts, bringing you the wit and wisdom of Will Rogers. And we have just an amazing show for you. Today, I was listening to some recordings of J.J. Virgin talking about why we were resistant to weight loss, and I went, oh, my God. It isn't just about calories, which I kind of knew, but I'd forgotten the details. So we'll be talking about that today with J.J., who, in case you want to know who she is, she helped Superman, the new Superman, get his spiffy new body, and she's generously willing to help us get ours. Now, we've actually had guests from all fields, from Olympic champion Mark Spitz to internationally known Marcella von Harding to Carol Channing. And the beauty is that you talk to a great person, they have great ways that they think about certain things. They may not be perfect across the board forever on every subject, but in any subject that they're successful in, I guarantee you that their conversation will be a conversation that you can learn something from. Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network says we're doing radio which will change the world, and we need you to make that true. So if you'll tell your friends and neighbors that we're on the air and we're also on replay, and if you go to our website at wakingupinamerica.com and sign in there and participate with us, we can create radio everywhere, which we already have on the Internet, but we can also create it on landlines as well. And if you would let your town newspapers know when we're on and what we're up to, we'd love that because that'll invite anybody in your city that has a computer hooked up to the Internet can be joining us. And what we'd like to do is just like create an explosion here, and we need your help to create that explosion. And JJ is always the perfect person, you know, to create an explosion.
What an intro.
You got to drop the fat to get through the keyhole. And that's what we're working on. So if each of us turn our personal worlds green with money, kindness, and healthy living, this is the healthy living segment coming in here, we know that we'll change our own world for better, and tag you're it, you can help change the rest of the world. So we have right now over 800,000 listeners a month, and I'd like to see that number double in the next two months. So I need your help to do that. I need to, as I said, have you go to the website at wakingupinamerica.com. I need to have you tell your friends, and I need to have you ask us questions and participate and hook up with the people that are on the show because, frankly, this is the creme de la creme. That's my opinion anyway, JJ. I mean, you've been around for a while. What do you think?
Works for me. I can't imagine why. You know, the best part is it's a potpourri, so you get great information from so many different areas.
It's true, and actually the two different radio stations, two of the guys that I was talking to, two of the different stations, I said, what do you like most about the Waking Up in America? He said, it's the most interesting show on the radio. We cannot predict the excellence, what field the excellence will come from, and we love that. It's
always excellence, and that's the takeaway.
And that's the choice line, too. Like, unless a person's proven excellence, they have to get there before they can get on Waking Up in America. And you, the first time I saw you, I went, like that. You know, through Jeff Pack, when he had that big bash And you were there, and I just, like, caught my breath. And then I had to go through this whole process where I thought you were so good I was almost afraid to ask you. How times have changed.
Flattery gets you everywhere.
No, I still think you're good, but I'm stronger. So, JJ, in listening to your tape, and I was talking to you about how I used to just lose, you know, 5-10 pounds in a week really easily, and you said that's probably one of the reasons you're having trouble now. Will you go into this whole kind of invisible conversation behind, you know, you're too fat because you didn't exercise enough and you ate too much?
Oh, and I just, when I hear that, I want to reach out and slap whoever said it.
Yes.
Don't you want to?
I was thinking of puking, actually, but slapping would
slap
work.
Slap and puke. You know, I think that there's a real bad message out there, and it's making people worse, not better. And it is this idea that if you're overweight, and I really want to stress over fat, not overweight, but if you're over fat, it's because you eat too much and you don't exercise enough. That silly message would assume then that our bodies are bank accounts. And so if you want to lose weight, all you need to do is eat less and exercise more. And maybe if you haven't managed to mess yourself up in some of these areas of weight loss resistance that I'm going to talk about, that would be the case. But with what's going on our planet, I rarely see someone with a healthy metabolism. I mean, in my field, I don't, because they wouldn't come to me. But just in general, walking around, I just rarely see these
people. Well, I met one in Mexico. It was like an oddity. We all circled around her.
Like, who's that? Yes.
Virginia, how did you do that?
Share your secrets. But it is funny because, you know, so you see this. So we've based this whole model on a person that, well, there's one in Mexico, so I can't say they don't exist. But
yeah, there is one in Mexico.
I'll introduce
you.
Yeah, great. So when in reality, what do we know? We know that we are biochemistry labs and that we have to address ourselves as such. And so what you'll find is that, yes, we need to do the basics well, which is hormonally balanced eating, paleo-inspired exercise. And when I think of behavior modification, I tell people it's living and thinking like a healthy, lean person to become one. But then you got to figure out these things that have damaged your metabolism, because if you don't address them, you will get stuck. You know how they talk about hitting a plateau?
Oh, yeah. I know so many plateaus I had to get telescope, you know, to get to the next level.
Yeah. So you hit the plateau, and so what do? You eat less and exercise more, which damages your metabolism further. So unless we address these areas of weight loss resistance.
You know what you just said? You talk so fast.
I do.
What you
really
just said was outrageous if you slow down. You think you're doing the right thing, which is eating less and exercising more because that's what you've been told, you're actually damaging yourself more. That's horrifying.
Isn't it horrifying?
Yeah, it is.
Very clear. I'll tell you the two mechanisms so everyone will understand, and I'll say it slowly, and you can repeat it if you'd like, Val. The first one is sorting in the phone. The first one is under-eating. Well, our bodies protect us from our stupidity through our hormones. Okay? Our bodies protect us from our stupidity through our hormones, which are messengers in our body. And we want our little hormone messengers to say, hey, babe, store muscle and burn off fat. But when you really lower your calories, your body goes, oh, my gosh, we're heading into a famine. And so what does it do? It down-regulates your thyroid function to protect you and holds on to your fat and raises your stress hormones. So it's going to burn off muscle tissue, it's going to hold on to fat, it's going to slow down your whole metabolism. Bad thing when you're trying to lose fat, right? Now, on the other end of it, you go, okay, I'll just exercise more. And, you know, a lot of these popular shows now say, let's do more and more aerobic training, because aerobic training, running, walking, cycling, whatever, is how our body uses fat for fuel. Well, yes, you might use fat while you're doing exercise like that, but the time you really burn the most fat is when you're sitting on your tush all during the day, and
really?
Muscle. Yeah, this is because we can have the most access to oxygen. It turns out that if you go into oxygen debt during exercise by doing high intensity, you burn more fat afterwards. If you burn more fat during exercise, you store more fat after. But more than that, and I know that's a rock your world statement too, if you are doing this long endurance training, which makes you a better fat storer, I will underline that again, you also are raising stress hormones, and you're burning off muscle, and they have correlated the muscle mass on an endurance-trained athlete like a marathon runner to that of a couch potato. And I would just tell you to consider what a sprinter looks like in the Olympics versus a marathon runner. And they look totally, one looks like, he's got cancer, you know. Think
what's
of the marathon
the
runner.
Training?
One of them's doing endurance training, and one of them's doing sprint high-intensity training. One of them's telling the body, the sprint guy, to raise growth hormone, to raise metabolism, to burn off fat. The other one's telling the body to break down muscle tissue, to raise stress hormones.
Okay? What's the difference in their training?
One of them does a lot of endurance training, long-distance training. The other one does short burst training, short sprint
training. And you're saying that for the weight loss thing, that would be the best?
I'm saying for everything in health, that's the best, because paleolithically, however we got here, 10,000 plus years ago, were we ever running? So if our bodies
away from animals, I would think.
Would you be running, jogging, or sprinting if a lion's chasing you?
I'd be sprinting.
Probably. You probably wouldn't jog away from the bear. You know? Now, if you were going out, you would walk to change a campsite or to gather, but you'd also be lifting repeatedly and you'd be sprinting. So those would be more activities. So did we ever really get set up to jog?
No.
No. So, you know, just think about those. Those, again, are the core basics. The hormonally balanced eating, that means that you're eating. And here's another one that's out there that makes me crazy. This thing that we should eat three meals and 2 to 3 snacks. Okay, I want to burst.
What should we eat?
Well, I'll tell you what should we eat, but when should we eat is also a big issue. Because if you're eating, are you burning stored fat for fuel?
No.
No, so why should we eat every, like, 2 to 3 hours?
Because it has something to do, according to the rules, with regulating metabolism.
Well, really, if you have a healthy metabolism and you ate a hormonally balanced meal of clean, lean protein, high fiber, low glycemic carbohydrates, lots of vegetables from the rainbow, and some healthy fats, you should be able to go 4 to 6 hours without needing to eat again. And if you haven't, you didn't eat a balanced meal, or you've got either insulin resistance or some kind of stress problem that's making you hypoglycemic and you need to fix it.
Well, maybe only 5% of Americans understand what a balanced meal is.
So again, here's a balanced meal. Clean, lean protein. And the way I do that is I have someone test their body composition, find out how much muscle they have or they should have, and we give them 1 gram of protein per pound of ideal muscle mass, fat mass, fat-free mass.
So what would be, if you took a 160 person or something like that, what would be proportional to their ideal muscle mass?
Well, it depends on the man or the woman. And actually, I created norms. Here's our body composition. We've got fat, and then we've got everything else, which is fat-free mass. Now, the part of fat-free mass we can affect, of course, is muscle, but it includes everything but fat. For men have between 3 to 5% essential fat on their body. Ideally, they should have somewhere between 5 and 15%. For women, they have between 10 and 15% essential fat they have to have to survive, and they should have somewhere between, say, 18 and 25%. So it really depends on your gender, but it ends up being, for men, you know, somewhere between 4 to 6 ounces of protein at breakfast, 5 to 6 ounces at lunch and dinner, and for women a little less than that, depending on their height.
So you're having protein at every meal?
Always, because protein is the counterbalance to carbohydrate. They have oppositional hormone responses, so you want to balance them out. That's why I call it hormonally balanced.
And for a vegetarian or a vegan, what would that protein be?
Well, if I can't convince them that they should not do that because there were no vegetarians in the wild because they died of nutrient deficiencies, and if they're doing that for our planet, then they should stop a lot of things like coffee. If I can't convince them that if they're doing that for health reasons, I'm going to go convince them. If it's for religious reasons, I'm going to leave it alone. And then we'll have to go other directions. But the direction I don't go is soy, because soy, unless it's organic and it's fermented, has got a lot of issues. And even organic fermented has issues. So being a vegan or a vegetarian is a tough call. And, you know, we see a lot of problems with it, from some hormone dysfunction, girls getting periods at 10, boys not developing where they should, you know, being underdeveloped.
What about eating for your
thyroid
blood type?
Dysfunction. I really love, Val? I like eating for your favorite color.
What is that?
You know, there's over 300 different, really, when you get to it, different blood types. So I don't buy into that blood type theory at all. I think it's a great thing, because no matter what blood type diet you follow, it's better than what you were eating most likely before. You know, so that's why people do better. But in reality, I'm going to run testing to find out someone's individual biochemistry, because there's so much more to this. You know, again, there's basics that we all need, like clean, lean protein, healthy fats, lots of vegetables, a little bit of fruit, and high-fiber carbs. There's basics. They shift, those demands shift really towards your metabolism and also towards your biochemistry. We know that how much fat someone can handle depends on something called the APOE4 gene. So that's nothing to do with blood type.
You know, Marcella von Harning does eating by color, too, but I never got into the details of it.
Well, I was saying that as a joke.
But no, she does.
Eating by color because, you know, you get all the different phytonutrients. So whenever you can tell people to eat from the rainbow, you just cover a lot more bases. But I was being a little facetious on the blood type diet because I don't really dig it. But let's go through just real quick, what are those 8 areas of weight loss resistance with a little hook on each so people can say, huh, maybe that's me. The first one, and really I honestly don't meet anybody who this isn't them, is stress. And stress, besides aging us, I would say I have a quiz, and we can put it on the website, say, that's called the Stress Making You Fat. But really the quiz should be a stress making you fat, old, and making you lose your sex drive, because it does all of those things. So I can usually get people to focus on reducing their stress. Challenges, you're not probably going to be able to change your life, but you can change your perception.
I'll tell you, JJ, I think this is not my problem, but I think that people actually think that sex drive just disappears
at a certain area because
as you get older, and I know that that's not true, and I actually want to include Cherie and Debbie in this conversation, but I have a friend, Betty, who's 87, and she's been married for the last 15 years to her high school sweetheart. Mm-hmm. They have sex every night.
Well, the reason that sex drive declines with aging is because hormones decline with aging. And one of the first ways, and we're seeing sexual dysfunction now, 40% of 40-year-old men have erectile dysfunction, that's actually an insulin resistance issue. But a loss of libido, the first way that happens is due to stress, because stress immediately lowers something called DHEA, and DHEA is the feeder hormone to testosterone. So you're going to see a drop in sex drive immediately.
Well, I've got to ask you what insulin libido is.
Okay. Insulin resistance, the first way that I see that in men, which is how I can usually get men to pay some attention here, is through erectile dysfunction.
I can hear ears perking up all over America.
You can't. It's like it's very interesting. I mean, if a man's got insulin resistance, it blocks arginine production. It actually raises something called asymmetric dimethyl arginine, ADMA. We can test for this marker, but you don't really need to test. You don't have a heart on. Hey, try some arginine. This is one of those ones where, as a nutritionist, you're very popular. I have one friend using it, and he just called me and goes, I need more of that. I go, are you over using this?
Oh, so we're going to put some pro-arginine on the website, I'm sure.
So arginine's a wonderful nutrient for a lot of different reasons, but the first reason is because it raises nitric oxide production, so it helps vasodilate you. So it's a good thing for men and for women.
They thought Valentine's Day was over. It's not.
So the very first thing you see in insulin resistance in men is you see erectile dysfunction, so it's an easy one to identify. So, you know, there's a lot of other things, hypoglycemia, fat storage around the waistline, poor glucose control, high cholesterol, inflammation, all these other things. But, again, insulin resistance is one of those areas of weight loss resistance, because when we've got your body not hearing the messages of insulin, this important storage hormone that also is, of course, a fat-storing hormone, it basically locks the doors to the fat cell so that your body can't use fat for fuel.
So how do you release the insulin?
How
do you fix the imbalance?
How do you get your body restore the sensitivity to insulin again? And, you know, one of the great things and why we put the basics into this program to start with is as you are eating more balanced, especially increasing fiber, because fiber blunts the blood sugar response to a meal, as you are eating more healthy fats that change cell membrane fluidity and help restore the receptor sensitivity, as you strength train to suck blood sugar into the working muscles instead of into the bloodstream, all these things help restore insulin sensitivity, along with nutrients. Lipoic acid is an amazing one, the four horsemen, vanadium, chromium, magnesium, and zinc. Vitamin D, you know, Val, one of the most interesting things now in looking at both immune function, bone density, and and insulin resistance and diabetes, because understand insulin resistance is just what you see 10 years before you have diabetes if you don't have a heart attack and die before that point, right?
You know, I know I've got to get you off the air at 12:30, and I need to have Cherie and Debbie contribute here. Debbie, are your ears just perking up?
Yeah, I'd like to know about how you deal with those people. There's a lot of them out there with diabetes already. Where do they go as far as how do they control this?
Well, you know, it really depends on how badly they've burned themselves out. Like if they've really damaged their pancreas and shifted in type 1, that's a different deal. But that's not what generally you see. Generally, you see someone who's either insulin dependent or not. And it's very interesting. And I'm doing a lecture actually for Eisenhower Hospital March 17th here in Palm Desert on this, on how you can use nutrients to support this. And it's fascinating because you can turn this around, and I've done it so many times, and usually you can do it fairly quickly, like in a month, just eating a balanced diet, adding fiber with each meal to, again, drop the blood sugar response to the meal, getting lipoic acid in. Lipoic acid is an incredible nutrient. It turns out, too, that vinegar, having like olive oil and vinegar on a salad with a meal, vinegar acts like metformin in helping with insulin sensitivity. Taking a good diabetic-focused multivitamin mineral that's got chromium, magnesium, vanadium, and zinc, because these all help with blood sugar control and insulin sensitivity. Strength training is huge. Strength training is critical, critical. Stress, because we know that people who are under stress, they raise cortisol, and over time, because of what cortisol does in breaking down muscle to drop into the bloodstream so you can run away from the lions, makes you insulin resistant. So all of those things contribute together, but I will tell you that diabetes and insulin resistance are largely a lifestyle disease, if not completely a lifestyle disease, and so you need to treat them with a lifestyle focus. And the other part of it is that vitamin D level. We're finding a lot of people are totally vitamin D deficient, which is critical here. It's a pro-hormone. So getting out in the sunshine 20 minutes a day without sunscreen is a critical factor, and then supplementing to get your levels back up to where they need to be.
It's really interesting what you're saying about the sun, because that's really true, and it's an easy thing to do. And frequently people don't do it at all,
because they're so scared. I mean, I live out in the desert, and we've got people who are vitamin D deficient. They never leave their house. I had one friend who was putting sunscreen on at night before bed. I go, you know, you're out of control. What are you doing? It's okay. It's safe now. I think that we need to be out in the sun, getting some sunshine, get that sunscreen off for at least 20, 30 minutes every single day.
Yeah, take a walk with your dog.
My gosh, and then what else does sunshine do? Hey, it raises serotonin naturally. What a great thing. So get out there and move more in the sun.
So, Cherie, where did she go? There she is. She was looking for the mute button.
What I was just wondering, and this is a big, huge thing, fiber. You mentioned get some fiber in you. A lot of people think fiber is, well, I'll just go and buy some wheat bread at the grocery store.
Thank you so much for bringing this one up, Cherie. You know what I do is I, and again, I'm a nutritionist. I love food first, but when I really want to make sure that people are being compliant with a lifestyle change, I have them take it. So I use something called Paleo Fiber because it's a nice blend of soluble and insoluble fibers without any of the allergenic properties. I'm not a big fan of gluten and wheat because they have such allergenicity and they can affect the brain like morphine. So I use more of that, but then I'm also going to increase fiber naturally in the diet. So I have them take a teaspoon of that as they start each meal to blunt the appetite and to lower the blood sugar response. Flaxseed meal, freshly ground, is great too. It's rich in pectins, so that's another great one. I follow a fairly paleolithic diet. However, I love beans because they're such a slowly released carbohydrate source. Carbs are sugar, remember, because they have so much fiber. And, of course, I love berries, same thing. So anything that I can do to get more fiber in their diet, tons of non-starchy vegetables, et cetera, I'm going to do. And as a nutritionist, what I like to focus on with people is adding before I take away, because I found that when you take things away from people, they get very hostile and unhappy with you. So
cranky would be a good word.
Very cranky, and I don't like being around cranky people for the most part, you know. If I can choose to be, I'd rather choose not to be. So I found that if I start adding things, like saying, you know, have a salad with some olive oil vinegar before your meal, have this teaspoon of fiber, have some veggie soup, have some bean soup, all of a sudden they're eating less overall calories because their calorie density is so improved, and you didn't have to go and say, hey, we're going to cut back over there.
We've got 2 minutes left, and I want you to tell people about the seminar you're doing.
Oh, Well, the seminar I'm doing is for healthcare professionals. I teach a course called Overcoming Weight Loss Resistance throughout the country. So I've got one happening in San Francisco March 3rd and 4th, and one happening in Scottsdale March 24th and 25th. And you can get that information through info@jjvirgin.com. But I'm also taking all of this information, and I'm putting it both for the healthcare professional on a virtual training site, but I'm also putting a health coaching program based around the principles of overcoming weight loss resistance on my Health Pro VT coaching site. And that should be ready here in about 2 months, depending on how quickly we get it edited up. So I really want to be able to make this user-friendly and help people get coached and stay accountable and change their life through very simple lifestyle steps and successful, easy action steps.
Well, that sounds pretty terrific. JJ, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it.
You are welcome. Now I'm going to go fly off to Dallas.
Good job. Thanks for making the time for us.
All righty. Thanks.
I wanted to ask the station now if they would bring on Will Rogers. So Will Rogers is done by our own Will Roberts, and we feel that the energy conversation is an important one. So if you'd bring that in with us now, we would appreciate it.
All I know is what I read on the Internet. And lately, I've learned a lot about alternative energy. So I put on my solar thinking cap, got a full charge, and I'm ready to tackle this issue. I used to have solar radio, and if I had a good enough charge, I could listen to the ball game till at least the seventh inning. I had a solar flashlight, which seemed kind of odd because you needed a light to charge the light. Luckily, things have changed. You almost don't need sun to power solar panels. I now have a scale that comes on when I turn on the bathroom light. Not sure how good that is. Anyhow, talking about alternative energy got me thinking. Hot air. We float balloons, pop popcorn with it. You can even start a fire if it gets hot enough. And the biggest bunch of hot air comes from Washington, D.C. They've got enough hot air to warm the North Pole. Enough wind that if we put sails on our warships, we could breeze right into the ports and never be heard. And all we need to feed these politicians is hopes of a re-election. Just think, we might actually have a reason for keeping these politicians around.
Yeah, how about that? And as people have been noticing lately, Will Rogers is showing up a lot. He dated back to the 1930s and cowboy humorist who always said all he knew was what he read in the paper. Well, we're very fortunate to have the most highly recognized extension of Will Rogers of anybody that I know. And if you want to reach Will Roberts, you can actually go to his website at willrogersusa.com, or you can give him a telephone call at 310-228-7105, and you can have him join your event. I know that he's going to be doing the Silver Spur Awards next year, and Will actually is a trick roping expert as well, and he would be happy to do all of that for you or perform in your venue. So give him a call. The guy is he's the best. I actually met him at Will Rogers' place. The other thing that I wanted to mention to you, and I just got home last night at 10 o'clock. I came home from San Pancho, Mexico. And at San Pancho, Mexico, there's a wonderful little place called Roberto's Bungalows, about two blocks from the beach. And Steve and Diana are there, and they have these charming little bungalows that actually have little kitchens outside. So this is a good thing. And I was lying in bed, and I had called Larry Hagman, and he goes, "Where are you?" And I went, "I'm in paradise." And you could hear the jungle birds talking because San Pancho has a beautiful beach. It's got it feels like you've discovered it. It's one of those places. It's not swarming in, you know, discount T-shirts or anything of that nature. It's a wonderful little town. So if you want to find out more about it, you call me at 310-455-8623, which is Waking Up in America, or you can actually contact Roberto's Bungalows. The USA number, which goes straight through to Mexico, is 1-971-239-4120. That's 1-971-239-4120. And tell them you heard about it here on Waking Up in America. So there you go. Well, it's obviously time for a doctor for money, because everybody knows money's going just up and down and all over the place. I don't even fully understand it all, Deb. So what's the message for us today?
Hi, Val. This is Debbie Ringchop, your doctor for money. Today I was just going to talk a bit about this time of year, we're in the middle of what's called the tax season. January to April is when people are putting their taxes together, and some people maybe are already on the draw, and they've finished their taxes, and they have it in, and their money's coming back to them electronically, and everything's cool. And others are just starting to go, oh, I guess those papers that have been coming in, I need to gather them and do something with them. Well, this is the time to take it to another step, not a traditional tax year. I would like people to really start saying, let me take all those little papers, put them together, but besides that, let's look at what is my baseline? Where am I really at now? If I'm going to create any kind of future for myself, I have to know where I am in order to know what the gap is to where I want to be. So I'm going to tell people right now is a good time to start collecting information and putting it in one place. The basic things for your assets, what you want to do is you want to make a list of where your various assets are, financial assets. You want to know everything from, you know, the houses and the cars and things like that, money market accounts, whatever you have out there, IRA accounts, any of those types of things, but also, and of course, what your debt side is. But in addition to that, you want to be looking at income and expense. That's your daily routine kind of things. And then you have your assets and liabilities. What we're wanting to do is try to create more positive assets by leveraging liabilities, by having, like, good debt instead of bad debt in the future. But in order to get there, like I said, you got to know where you're starting. So right now it's just create a little quadrant that has four boxes to it. And one part just lists what kind of income sources, where the income's coming from. Another one lists what the asset value is. Another is the liabilities, like where the debt would be, mortgages, things like that, you know, where you have loans. And then the other part is just general expenses.
Yeah, what is the difference between a good debt and a bad debt?
A good debt and a bad debt, one is on an appreciating asset and one is on a depreciating asset. That's really the easiest way to look at it. You have a car that's a depreciating asset, typically. It's wearing out. It goes down in value. From the moment it comes off the lot, it loses value. A home property is typically an appreciating asset. It does require maintenance. Obviously, you have to keep your house up and keep your property up, but it does appreciate over time. So certain kinds of investments are appreciating assets, and other things, boats, cars, things like that, are going to be more your depreciating assets. Typically, even things like timeshares are more or less depreciating assets. Once you get them, they're difficult to sell. So, you know, if it's not something that's growing in value, it's a bad debt. So obviously credit cards, those are typically considered bad debt, especially with the rates they charge nowadays. Oh my gosh. I mean, I've seen over 30% on some of them. It's absolutely crazy.
Debbie, try 49.
No way. Who has a 49?
I can't remember, but it was one of them.
I haven't seen that one.
As if you missed a payment. Didn't
it's
start
ridiculous.
Out like
that is absolutely unheard of.
Well, what happens is you don't know that it's 49%, but by the time it's compounded, the way depending upon how they compounded.
Oh, that's true.
By the end of the year, you've ended up paying way more than you thought you did.
That is true. When you look at compound interest, either direction, you're paying on it on the balance, and each time it grows from additional finance charges growing on there. You're paying on top of paying, and so, yeah, it really does increase. It's probably 150%, not 49% when you really look at the compound of it. So the good, another kind of good debt, though, is if you borrow to invest at a higher rate of return, the difference between the two is that gap that you want to be able to create. So a lot of times you'll find the millionaires are, and even banks, if you look at it, they borrow from us. We put deposits into accounts, especially the longer-term CDs. They're borrowing from us to lend it out to somebody else at a higher rate of return, i.e. some other form of investment. So from a little guy's perspective, it could be that we're borrowing, say, off of our home equity line or something like that, and we instead are investing into something that's a growing asset that has a much higher rate of return, preferably something with a higher guaranteed rate of return. Instead of, you don't want to go after your house using too much of that house money for investments that have the risk of losing it all. But for ones like a promissory note, you could be a lender to somebody else. Especially if you look at credit cards. If you're paying 20% on a credit card right now, and you could borrow from somebody that has some cash available at 12% interest. 12% interest to them is a pretty good deal. And you could do a promissory note with them and be paying down some of your debt at 12% payment back. You've leveraged that money. Instead of paying 20% out, paying 12, it's a good deal for both of you. They get 12% interest. You only pay the 12 instead of the 20 and get your debt paid off faster. If you can be the one that's lending the money, you're doing even better. So I like playing promissory notes, too, as a positive type of debt. So anyway, those are some examples, but right now is the time. Put it down in writing. It's not going to do you any good if you just collect the little pieces of paper and never actually put it down on paper and track it. Because once you know where you're at, then you can project where you want to be, and then you can create a plan between that, where you are now, and your future, and that's your gap that you need to close. That's it for the Doctor for Money. You can reach me at Debbie@WakingUpInAmerica.com or call us toll-free at 866-RADIO-99. And Val, I just want to recommend again, everybody, don't forget, go to the website and click on that Save the Planet stuff down at the bottom.
Yeah, really, I'm glad you thought of that.
Because that's important. It's only a click away, and you're literally saving a little piece of the world. And it's one of those little things that just build into your day. It's so simple to do. Once a day, in a year's time, I mean, you can save a lot of land. And that just helps. It's being sponsored by, of course, sponsors out there. And the more people that come over and click on it, and occasionally they're going to go and buy something, so that's why the sponsors are there. But in the meantime, they donate the money for us, and you're not paying a thing. So take advantage of those little breaks out there and start saving the planet. That's it for me.
Oh, this is very funny. An email just came in, Debbie, and it's a picture of the Statue of Liberty spanking George Bush in a German parade. It says a float depicting U.S. President George Bush being spanked by the Statue of Liberty passes by the Rosemunde Carnival in Mansfeld, Germany on Monday, February 19th. You know what I think is really good about this? It's like I think that this float lets us know that people know that we believe in liberty. You know, people know that we respect the Statue of Liberty. I just think that's funny. So, David, thank you for sending us. It's a very interesting picture. I don't know if we have we've talked about it, Cherie. What if you wanted to name two oils for world peace, what would you name?
Two oils for world peace?
Mm-hmm. Would it be like legacy or something, or what?
One would be peace and calming. There's an oil that I work with called Peace and Calming, and it's a blend of aldehyde oils, which people go, what the heck are aldehyde oils?
Right, exactly.
So they're oils that contain a certain compound organically that are called aldehydes, which actually calm down overstimulated nervous systems. And those oils are tangerine and mandarin and patchouli and tansy and things like that, blue tansy in particular. Plus many others, lavender, really good pure lavender, not the kind you can buy at a perfume store or the kind you buy at a health food store. Those usually aren't really good, the medicinal grade lavender. Those are more perfumey grade lavender. But that's one, peace and calming. And then I would do a couple of others. One might be joy oil, because joy helps to balance the adrenal glands, like JJ was saying, regarding stress. Everyone is so the number one cause of weight gain and inability to manage proper healthy weight and fat is stress. Have the effects of stress on the body because it increases cortisol levels, it shuts down metabolism.
Tell them a little bit what cortisol was for in the first place.
Well, cortisol is actually very helpful. It prevents giant's disease. What happens is, see, we have human growth hormone that tells our body to grow. But we also need to be told when not to grow, okay, so that we don't become 7, 8, 9, 10 feet tall or higher. And so what happens is that cortisol was put in place to check, do what we call check or balance, counterbalance, the human growth hormone, the HGH. Well, the challenge is with the amount of stress that we have in our lives and how the choices people are making and just the environment with the toxic chemicals are getting more and more stress. They add more stress onto our body system to function. The big challenge that we have with that is that the cortisol levels are going higher and higher and higher in our body. And because of that, then we have the inability to properly digest fat. And we get fatter and fatter and fatter. And I know people who eat very healthy, but they have very stress-filled lives, and they do not have the proper mechanisms to release the stress from their body. And as a result of that, they weigh a significant 50, 80, 100 pounds more than they should, and they're eating very healthy. So it's
you know,
not
that's
just
huge.
Diet. It's not just diet. That, you know, and JJ was talking a lot about it. And when you have high cortisol levels, it is impossible for you to uptake minerals and nutrients from the food you eat. It's impossible because it sets up a whole cascading effect in your endocrine system that will shut down your metabolic ability. So yeah, so that's why I would say joy oil, because joy oil has the ability to properly regulate the adrenal glands, and the cortisol comes from the adrenal glands. And it comes from when the adrenal glands are ramping out of control, then they spew out cortisol. Yeah. So joy would be a good one. Another one would be harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Harmony would be a really good one.
You can create a peace package or something and put it on the website.
Yeah. It would create calmness. I have people who, I have these wonderful crystal rock water fountains that I have when I do big events, and people have purchased them and they put them in their offices because they're so stressful. And they will take harmony oil and put one or two drops of harmony oil actually in the water through this beautiful, you know, small tabletop fountain, you know, maybe 8 inches wide by 8 inches wide, not very big. And they have noticed within 2 to 3 days a marked decrease in the stress levels in the office, and people are reacting to each other in a much more harmonious manner. And it has been, they've done just wonderful studies with this. So harmony oil is another favorite one of mine. And then probably one that you love, Dr. Valerie, and that is Highest Potential. And this is an oil that has a base of Australian blue cypress. It comes from the northwestern territories of Australia, the Tiwi tribe. The Australian blue cypress oil tree, the Australian blue cypress tree, is a very sacred tree to that nation. And that nation is known for its humbleness and for its beyond belief, intuitive, and extrasensory abilities and perceptions. And so there's been books written on this, studies done on this. It's been pretty amazing. Even Crocodile Dundee alluded to this in the in his movies.
Now that's an interesting piece of information.
Uh-huh. And so I would do that one, and this is why. If people were really being who they are meant to be, if they are okay and accepting all their strength, you know, Nelson Mandela said that it is not our weakness that we are afraid of, it is our strength. And the Bible says, you know, don't put your light under a bushel, or, you know, meaning under a basket, because nobody can see it then. Let your light so shine. Well, your light is who you are, your authenticity. What would happen if all of us on the planet, or a significant amount of us, were really okay with those amazing desires that are in our heart? And when I mean desires, I don't mean like, you know, going after somebody else's, you know, partner or spouse or mate or stealing someone else's money or car. Not that kind of a desire, but the innate desire that you know you are here for a reason and you have some things that you'd like to accomplish on this planet. What would our world be like if everyone, or a significant amount of people, were in alignment with that?
It'd be outstanding.
And see, there would be no more depression. because depression is really, unless you're dealing with a severe biochemical imbalance in the brain, which then that's not really depression. That's more of something else, like bipolar or other mental concerns from a biochemical standpoint. Depression is anger turned inward or rage turned inward. And it's because people have just then become apathetic and given up. They don't see a way for them to be, you know, their life to be healthy and happy and powerful. And I don't mean powerful in an aggressive way, but powerful in a creative way and in a way that affects everyone that comes into it in a positive manner. So when we can align with that within ourselves, what would our life be like? I really think about it. Would we have as much crime? No. Would we have as much pollution? No. See, the pollution is really baffling me. I come from a state, you know, Minnesota, where it is just like breathing. You don't litter. You don't leave trash around. I mean, we don't talk about it because it's a non-issue, because it's just in the nature here of this place that if you have trash, you put it in the trash. You know, we recycle and we have forever, not because the state tells us to. It's just what you do because it's the right thing to do, and that's a mindset. You don't think about it. You just do it. But in my traveling, I have been around the country, and I have noticed so much trash on the roads and in places, and I'm like, what is going on? What makes people think it's okay just to toss something out their window? It makes me crazy. So, you know, there would be no pollution. There would be no, there would be much less illness. There would be some, but there would be much less. And people would be in the right job. Wouldn't it be amazing if everyone was in the career choice of their heart's desire?
Yeah.
What would our life be like? We would have enough food, because those that want to be really love being a farmer would be a farmer and be properly paid. Those who love being a teacher would be a teacher and be properly paid. You know, those people who really love being a physician would be a physician, not for the money, but because that's what's in their heart for them to be.
Now, you know, Cherie, I was trying to find ways of expanding business with the Koning Company, which, you know, works with a lot with sinuses and things, that the lymphatic system and things of that nature. So I hired a woman that does internet searches to find out what AdWords, from Google, what words people plug into the internet.
What keywords, right.
What the keywords are that are coming up a lot, and both of us were shocked to find this, would be people would be writing in from different cities saying that they had sinus problems and that they had headaches.
Yeah.
Well, some of those cities are where we had chemtrails.
Yes.
So maybe you'd like to mention chemtrails while you're included in this conversation, because I think people are allergic to the chemtrails and don't even know they're happening.
Well, we have talked so much, and that's why one of the contributing factors, that and the microwaves, are two of the hugest factors, because the microwave ovens will create sinus problems. That's the bottom line. You don't have to believe me. There's so much research on it. We don't even need to go into it. Microwave ovens, using microwaves in any way, shape, or form, will create sinus problems. The chemtrails are coming out more and more. And a few years ago, I did a great amount of talk on this. And so regarding the chemtrails, the oils that will help to totally digest them, one oil is when we've talked about so much, it's called longevity oil. And it's a blend of clove, thyme, frankincense, and orange. And you can take it internally in capsules, and it's amazing. It also, by the way, prevents the flu. It's better than any flu shot with no side effects. So that's one. Another oil is Ravintsara. If you put the word raven and Sarah together, Ravintsara. Ravintsara from Madagascar, where it comes from, is known as the oil, the miracle healing oil. It is especially powerful in removing things from the lungs, including people who used to be smokers and they have a tar buildup in the lungs. It literally will go in and take that apart and dissolve it. And then another oil is lemongrass. Lemongrass oil is another one that's a very powerful digester of toxins. And a fourth one is patchouli. Now, this is a very interesting one. Are you ready for this? This is so fun. You know, in the days where people did a lot of smoking weed or pot or marijuana or call it what you want, and the oil that they used to cover up was patchouli oil. And what was interesting is that when you take patchouli oil internally, now not the kind you buy at like a head store, but patchouli oil internally, Patchouli oil will digest the toxins, the THC, in the body that the marijuana created. Pretty amazing, huh?
Well, would that work on...
Well, I bet you're going to get a lot of calls on that one.
Pardon me?
I think you're going to get a lot of calls on that one.
Yeah. Deb, what were you saying?
If people are over-medicated, because, I mean, this society is majorly over-medicated, does it help against that type of...
Yep, and this is why. See, I worked with a pharmacist, and she is a female out of Arizona, believe it or not, northern Phoenix area, and she said that she became a natural pharmacist, and the reason is because she said she couldn't stand anymore in good conscience doling out prescriptions to people that were 97% petrochemical-based.
Aren't all prescriptions 90?
All prescriptions, including eye ointments, you name it, are 97% petrochemical based, which means they are very toxic to us. They are coating the neurotransmitters and the neurological receptor sites. They are causing not only what the compounds are doing, but the actual base that they put them in are creating toxic responses in the body and impairing our neurological function. And we wonder why Alzheimer's, Lou Gehrig's disease, Parkinson's, and ADHD is rampant.
Yeah, well, they're accumulative diseases.
Yes. So that's why, you know, again, all these oils I just mentioned, lemongrass, patchouli, longevity, thyme, clove, ravensara, these are all wonderful oils that will go in and not only digest the toxins that are in our body, but they will also, and the toxins we're breathing in or that we've consumed unknowingly or put on our skin and it's gone into the blood, but they will also prevent viruses and bacteria from taking hold in us.
Oh, my God. Well, Cherie, thank you very much for that segment.
You're welcome. Thanks. Thank you.
We want to invite you to go to our website at wakinguponamerica.com. We also want to invite you to listen to Vital Issues on Saturdays at 11 o'clock California time. And we invite you to tell your friends. We also, there's a place for you to sign in. We're giving away light bulbs, you know, those nice little energy reductive spirally light bulbs. You know, they last a really long time, and they cut your energy use significantly. I've got a fairly large house, and I replaced 1, 2, 3, 4 of the ceiling ones with these bulbs, and I cut about $80 a month off my bill. Now, that's huge. So whenever you can do that, that's a welcome thing. So we're asking you to turn America green, and we're asking you to actually start with yourself. And part of the new program that I want to include is, if you do something called a mitzvah, do you guys know what a mitzvah is? Do you, Cherie, or Deb?
No.
A mitzvah, I was told, I was going around talking about this concept of giving people a boost. So I was told just yesterday that that's a concept used in Judaism, and that a mitzvah is actually a good deed. So one of the things that I committed to doing last week, actually it was on the Valentine's show, I wondered how I could continue being a Valentine's forever. And it was every day I decided that I would give somebody a boost, even if it was that I was thinking of driving by the gas station and somebody wanted to get out, that I would take extra care and I would notice that and stop and let them out, things of that nature. And that if I started to contribute to life like that way, things would be really different. So I'm working every day on giving people a boost, and I think that's a natural part of your personality, Debbie, that you do that, isn't it?
That probably fits.
So maybe you could give them some ideas of some boosts they could give.
Well, I think one that's kind of fun that most people don't, I don't know that many people that have actually done this. If you're doing something like driving through a toll booth or something like that, give them an extra buck or two or something, pay for the person behind you. You know, cool little things like that. Buying somebody that's in the same line with you a cup of coffee. Giving something over to unfortunately, there's still homeless people around, but if you have some extra food, just hand it to the homeless instead of, you know, bothering taking it home and throwing it out later or something. There's just lots of little ways, you know, to do little things.
One of the things that I do, and you have to be careful because it's illegal, believe it or not, is I carry quarters with me, and I walk down the streets, and if I notice that a meter is about to expire, I'll put a quarter in for him.
You know, it's interesting what you just said, because
but
that's what
illegal.
Walter Matthau used to do.
It is illegal?
They told him it was, the cop told him it was illegal, and he just looked at the cop.
Yeah.
The cop said, okay, for you, I'll make an exception.
No, it is illegal. And it, they approached me, too, because I was going down, I was going just, you know, down a street, and I was just putting quarters in meters. And the meter person was there, and that's what drew me attention to look at the meters, because I'm like, oh, my God, these people are going to get tickets. So I thought, I got extra quarters. I'll just throw some quarters in for them. And the meter person came up to me and said, and was very, very upset. And I just looked at them, and I said, you have got to be kidding.
So, Sherry, what would happen if everybody put meters in for everybody else, the meter maid wouldn't have a job?
So
wouldn't that be a good job to change into something else?
We'd find a better job for that.
Exactly. But notice, what you just described in this brief period of time that we've got left, which is about 20 or 30 seconds, is the fear that we have that something might evolve to something greater because we might lose our job. And as Cherie said, there's a better job waiting.
Sure.
Now, this program has been produced by Kirkgaard Media. Our radio partner is KoningCompany.com, Dr. James Murphy in Memoriam, our executive producer, Nathan Jett, and thanks also to Damien for the brilliant ad cards he produces, and thanks to you, JJ, you rock. Our chief technical officer is Pete Laubach, and our webmaster is Jack Alvey Kotz. And Jeff Spinard, he's the network director, so we really appreciate what he does for us. And, of course, we've got the team at Voice America, and we've got Bent Mangan, who wrote our theme music, Almost Ordinary People. So next week, invite a friend to listen. And remember, we are turning America green one thought at a time. And tune into Vital Issues Saturday at 11 p.m. California time. And thanks for listening.
And it's time to...
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on VoiceAmerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at HeavenIncorporated.com.